now.
11LRNI.
Now the lights dim low. Soon we'll start the show.
Here comes LF Midwood.
Sweet William is dead.
Studio version of that. It's listed as an outtake on one of the complete studio albums. Peggy O by the Grateful Dead. Normally I don't back announce, but I know the Grateful Dead annoys people, so I just like to back announce the Grateful Dead. And every other live version of that, at least the stuff that's been put out on disc, or well, I guess mostly disc, is somewhere between 7 to 10 to possibly 12 minutes. I like that version from Englishtown, New Jersey. I don't know what year that was, like maybe 78 or something. But people argue that, I suppose, the dead, appreciative people, I don't want to go so far as to say aficionado. Hello, my name is LF Midwood, and you're listening to the Midwood Files. My level of enthusiasm actually drops when I hit the shower. You know, I hit the shower, and I was actually, I don't know what it is, I actually feel kind of strange. I had, like little chest pains yesterday that were like, eh, and then they kind of, like, passed. And I had something, dinner was like, some meat sauce, so who knows. I mean, I'm not really having chest pains now, but I feel kind of woozy. I definitely feel woozy, and I took my meds are on their proper schedule, you know, as far as landing things. So, I don't think it's my meds, I don't know. I don't think it's low sugar, I'm not really sure what it is, but I just want to officially say for the record, I feel a little woozy, and the shower did not help. I was actually considering, if I could possibly, start to do the show from the shower, but, apparently the, technical, accruement that would be required for that would be just a little bit too much, you know, somewhere in the air of, Jacques Cousteau. So, as we speak, there's a kegger at Brett Kavanaugh, yeah, at his home, as we speak, apparently, finally finished. Oh my God. It was, you know, it just turned into, it turned into like Charlie Brown's teacher. And it was just like, and, all people seem to recall, all those people seem to recall is that, oh, he freaked out. He got angry. He got mad. You know, you poke the dude with a stick, man. You're like, like that. Not just once, but like, And you know, Judge Kavanaugh was supposed to, just sit there and, you know, I mean, he was being attacked, his reputation beyond the fact that if he had even gotten the appointment or not was being called into question. I mean, really? I think the thing that bothers me the most, when I look at the whole process, or at least what the process, was this time around, is the idea of the presumption of innocence. I mean, I understand the idea of women who are victims of sexual assault, or men for that matter, who are victims of sexual assault, being hesitant to come forward. And, you know, I think there's got to be some sort of line between the idea of holding them up to some sort of questioning, some sort of, I mean, not for nothing, no witnesses, no nothing. I believe that there were certain key things that she couldn't even recall. I think the fact that, Feinstein had held on to that initial letter that she had sent for like 2 weeks? To me, that's an indication of the fact that they didn't think it was super strong. I mean, you can make allegations about anybody, and without any sort of proof, it's called slander, I believe. So the process just kind of... It was ugly. And now, as we speak, Roe v. Wade is being overturned. Oh, what? It isn't? Wait? Really? No. I don't think it's going to be overturned. That's one thing I'm pretty sure is going to stay in place. I mean, arguably, you could say the only reason it hasn't been overturned thus far is because it hasn't come up in the proper wording through the courts. You know, because the courts, you got to remember something. Although it may not seem like it anymore, the Supreme Court's job is just to decide what is the what matches the letter of the law. They're not supposed to be creating legislate. So when they talk about like legislating from the bench, that term legislating from the bench generally points towards there being some sort of political bias from the judiciary at any level, I suppose. And that does happen. I think it's a normal part of the process, even though it's not supposed to be. I don't really know. You know, I look in the long term, and I'm like, I'm trying in my own personal reality to keep an eye on the long term, which is harder and harder to do. You know, like a day at a time. I live one gotta put my ass in the chair week at a time. but I'm not at all thrilled where the country seems to be heading. And I'll be honest with you, like I said, I could arguably say that my guy won, the guy I voted for won. And I'm certainly beyond conservative. So, I mean, I'm very cool. I think, not for nothing, I got a new phone and I spent some time setting it up, which is a pain in the neck. And I think one of the first notifications that I got before I remembered to turn off the notifications for everything was lowest unemployment in U.S. history, right? Am I right? Let me see. Let me see. I think I want to make sure that I'm not just talking shit because, like I said, I am a little woozy. You gotta cut me some slack on the wooziness, and I'm still sweating. Oh my god. Unemployment rates. Let's just make sure Midwood's not talking. I can do whatever I want because it's my show. Unemployment rates. Mm-hmm. Let me spell that right. Unemployment rate. Okay, I want news. Unemployment rate and news. U.S. unemployment rate falls to 3.7%, lowest since 1969. All right, so not lowest since ever, but lowest since 1969. And I have to presume that those numbers reflect minorities, because it's also important to keep those minorities working, otherwise they'll be out committing crimes. So yeah, I mean, the country's headed in, unemployment's down, the market seems to be relatively stable, doing well, up, down, and then little burst up. I have to wonder whether things are okay enough for your average American. And I'm not even sure what an average American. I know I'm not an average American. That's one thing I am sure of. So I have to find my... I don't even know if I know an average American. Like, personally? Oh, maybe I do. Yeah, maybe one or two. But yeah, I have to presume that your average American, that middle of the line person who isn't a Democrat or isn't a Republican and is just interested in getting through life with some sort of quality of life and being able to provide for their kids and put the food on the table and be able to get the cables and watch the sports or whatever the hell it is they do. Basketball preseason, by the way, very excited. I have to presume that the middle of the road voter now is enjoying somewhat of a benefit from Donald Trump being in office for just short of 2 years, I suppose. If not, then, I mean, unless you're going to buy into, unless I should say they're going to buy into. I realize here I'm preaching to the choir, although I might have a Democrat or two out there. Notice I didn't say a liberal, but I said Democrat. I think I might be preaching to the choir, but I know Obama, the mulatto wonder, is trying to take credit for the economy. and I'm like, look, and it's like, because they say there is, I guess there is, generally speaking, there does seem to be a ongoing, I don't know if it's whether a built-in thing, but I mean, obviously, and our president inherits a former president's economy to some degree or another. But Obama's economy was just not, I mean, this is far as like stimulation, like getting through like the money for the stimulation, what was when, no, it was what stimulation, I like that word, stimulus, was kind of ridiculous compared to like, say, what that tax cut, why couldn't they just do a tax cut like Donald Trump did? And that money, you know, and that put money in people's pockets, you know, and it was really kind of interesting because, you know, most of the time they talk about how when the Republicans give tax cuts, how it's like only for the rich. But the way it, you know, should work is that the people who provide the jobs, the people who provide the salaries, get a break, and they give a break to their employees. And it, well, there's that phrase again, it trickles down. And it looks like it did. It looks like it trickled down. Because it would apparently, or it would appear that people had more money in their pocket, which made them more inclined to want to spend money, or at least, what do they call that? I guess they call it, is it that consumer confidence? I don't know if it's a statistic that they keep. I don't think it is. But I think it's just what they refer to when people are really feel comfortable that their job is going to stay where it is, and that there's going to be money coming in, and that they can possibly spend a little bit of money, or maybe put a little money on the credit cards. I'm interested in seeing what this holiday season winds up being like. Of course, it'll be after the midterms, so I mean November. We have the midterms, and I did. There's definitely a gubernatorial race here in Rhode Island. I know that. I'm voting for the Asian guy. Man, I know that much. I just hope I don't get. I'm going to vote for the Asian guy, and then I'm going to vote for him 15 minutes later. Anyway, I love running that joke. I'll run it into the ground. And I think there's some council stuff that I should really start to pay attention to here in the state of Rhode Island. But I think Mr. Trump has done a good enough job where, you know, it the battle states, quote unquote, aren't going to be as tough as they normally are. I think people are relatively, and I don't, I haven't looked at any polls. I should start looking at polls and stuff. I should start looking at something, quite frankly, before I wander in here. But yeah, I'm just starting to, I just, like I said, the Kavanaugh thing would be like almost impossible to miss, obviously. It's one in on a Saturday. I wonder what the overtime on that cost, by the way. speaking of government money. And, you know, the Roe vs. Wade thing seems to be, people seem to be, and have you ever noticed with Roe vs. Wade, it's always the ugliest chicks who are, like, concerned about Roe vs. Wade. The ones who are never going to get laid anyway are concerned about, you know, their ability to be able to murder babies. Because that's what it is. I got to honestly say, you know, I'm mad at God. And, you know, I said, I guess, you know, I played back last week's show, and I, like, listened to my spew. That's what I was doing. I was spewing. And, you know, I said I don't consider myself Christian anymore. And I don't know if that's true. I don't know. Now, looking back in retrospect, first of all, I don't know if you could, you know, you're baptized, and that's pretty much it. It's, you know, pretty much done from there. And I was baptized, so let's not get back into ancient history. We're aware of that. So I don't know if I could honestly say I'm not Christian, nor do I consider myself Christian. I could say that I am extremely mad at God, and it's highly unlikely I'll be talking to God anytime soon. And like I said, I don't want to get heavy duty back into that, but I thought I'd mention, you know, because I did get some, I get some yam yam from people about that. Believe it or not, I do speak to various people during the week, and they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, relax, you know, because I did. I spent, people were like, well, you spent like 2 years, you know, really moving in a particular direction, and then when you know, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you decided that, you know, you're closing that door. And I guess they're right. I will say, I feel a little strange not praying, because it was a regular part of my process. It was a part of my my day. You know, it's a part of my regular daily life. I'm looking for the phrases to be able to get anywhere near what it was. And it's like there's this big, you know, there's a big hole there. But I'm mad, so we'll leave it at that. So, you know, just to address that, you know, it's not like I'm going off and I'm going to join a cult or anything, although I guess Christianity Was a Cult. We covered that a little bit last week. You know, I played back that show. I thought it was a little too, when I walked out of the room, I was like, and I enjoyed it. I don't know about anybody else, but I got across what I wanted to get across. I'd been meaning to talk about the Cathars for a long time. I am going to do the Templar show at some point in time, but not, I don't know. So maybe I'll see, maybe I'll do that on November 13th, and you'll understand why I do it on, oh no, actually it would have to be October 13th. Okay, no, it would have to be October 13th. Which is actually the anniversary of the suppression. I think it was on a Friday a few years ago, which was actually pretty cool. That would have been the time to do the show, but I don't think I was doing stuff back then. I was laying in bed and watching Law and Order, the original Law and Order. I think back then it took me a long time to get through those. I'm just kind of. But I'm mad. It's the best way to put it. I'm really, 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 really mad. And people are like, do you think you might not be mad someday? And I'm like, no. You know, you're past a point where it's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. No. So, anyway, please don't be alarmed. Everything's going to be okay. Do not panic. Do not panic. And it's nice that people, you know, are concerned about my my spiritual life. For sure. Oh, you know, I got emails. I got one from Gary like a couple of weeks ago. I actually emailed Gary and I said, I don't know whether anybody told you or not. Like, anybody would have told him. But I'm back on, and I've been back on for like a couple of few weeks, you know, like a month or something. And he needs to be back, and he's like, really? Somebody should have said something. You should go on John's and tell people. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm still trying to hide. As a matter of fact, you know, it's funny. I spoke to two people this week who do shows. They do shows somewhere else, but they do shows. And when I mentioned to them that I was back up and, you know, back up and running, they were like, oh, you know, send me a link, you know, to this week's show. And I was like, whenever anybody says, like, send me a link or, you know, go to the website, I'm like, you know, that kind of, I like kind of like that because I'm still like, you know, with the exception of the emails that I get, and every time I open one of those, I'm always like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? You know, with the exception of the emails, I'm almost starting to think that maybe the show is just in my head, you know, because apparently there have been other things in my head that I hadn't realized were just in my head. So maybe the show is just in my head. The idea of conceptual reality. I was trying to explain that to someone this week. I have this long-standing idea that there's reality. Reality is this thing, right? And people have an impression of reality, but nobody is 100% on in reality. We're just kind of all looking at it and getting our own individual, you know, process of it. So, you know, again, so that being the case, no two people's realities are the same, which is, you know, maybe understandable, but there's overlap. And there are some people who are closer, and there are some people who are very far off. I think that really comes into play when you start to try and understand why people see things differently than you do, or understand differently than you do, or maybe it's just my chemical imbalance. I'm not really sure. If I claimed that I was like 100% on top of reality all the time, then I would think that you would have you know, the right to think that, but I don't think that. I really try and, or at least I really used to try and understand where people were coming from and if it's something that differed from your own opinion. And it's just the older I get, the less I care about other people's opinion. It's true. I've got to, you know, I kid about it all the time. I'm really not interested. This show is not about, like, news. It's about the inside of my head. And if you don't like the inside of my head, you can go start your own show about not liking the inside of my head. This is America. As long as you live on the North American continent, you're an American. And it's true, though. It's true. So, yeah. You know, we don't always agree. And I do. You know, that's one of the things I think that I can relate to John Lightning with is what limited interaction I get with my audience is it's usually people like, yeah, you know, not nice. Like the other email I got, like that I want to mention is Jay Johnson finally checked in after a long time, and he liked the reminiscing childhood fuzzy warm show. He thought that was pretty cool. And thanks for the feedback, Jay. And I'm like, I look back on that show, and I didn't even play that one back. I think I played some of it back, and then I just stopped because it was just like I got that, you know what I mean? Or it just gets to it's like, oh man. So I'm trying to find some sort of balance between, like, you know, what I want to do. I think, like I said, I was really angry last show, and it's like, I obviously can't not ever talk about myself again. It's got to be in some sort of, I'd like to be able to weave it in with current events. Like tonight, again, I talked about Kavanaugh being confirmed, and I was trying to think about what I wanted to do for, like, I figured I could get, like, X amount of time out of the idea of how things have changed. You know, again, Me Too is, like, I get that. I honestly get that. But you have all these Me Too people basically trying to crucify. And he didn't help himself. Kavanaugh didn't help himself. But trying to, you know, persecute and crucify this man in a public forum, and yet they had no problem ignoring Harvey Weinstein and people like, you know, again, if there's no way there was just one Harvey Weinstein. I think we went through the and there hasn't been one for a while, so I guess we're about due, right? I mean, but the idea of being able to ruin or you know, destroy someone's life, let alone their career, based upon an accusation that can't be substantiated. Now, sadly, I'm sure that there are assaults that can't be substantiated and never will be, because the person didn't go forward at the time. And I can only imagine what it, you know, how difficult it must be to find yourself in that sort of situation and go forward. Like, whatever numbers we have on rapes in this country are horrendously low, based upon the fact that the victim never really comes forward. They don't. And I don't, you know, because I can understand how that process of going forward is the second violation. I mean, I can only imagine that that's the case. And the idea of the only real defense for it is to actually put the victim on trial, which now even amplifies that effect. So yeah, that's why those numbers are really low. So we'll never know. But by the same token, you can't just make an accusation without being able to have some substantiation for it. And and Miss Ford did not have, she couldn't substantiate it. And there were details that she should have known that she didn't know for whatever reason. I think even the timing on certain things were kind of whacked out as far as the timeline went. And she'd never really, you know, that's the one thing. They said, oh, she'd never really spoken to anybody about it. And I'm like, well, that kind of ties into what I had said like a couple of few moments ago. So I have to wonder, and I don't believe that it occurred. I'll say that outright. I don't believe that it occurred. But I have to wonder that is the Brett Kavanaugh that was sworn in as a Supreme Court Justice earlier today, was that the same person who was attending that high school in 19, whatever it was, I don't remember what it was. Is it the same person? I mean, I look at myself and I look at a lot of the things that I had done, and I've never raped anyone, nor have I ever been raped. But I look at a lot of the other things that that I have done and that I had done in high school. I kind of, you know, look at the person I am now, and I'm like, you know, definitely not the same guy. I mean, you know, things change. You go through, especially you go through other different types of trauma again, I was talking to someone this week about how I've definitely not led an ordinary life in that sense. I've kind of led an unordinary, a life less ordinary. I always loved that movie, by the way. And it changes you. It changes you more rapidly than I think the normal aging process does, for sure. And you also have to keep in mind that, at least in my, I can only speak, you know, through my own perception. I think I'm a bit of a different person as a result of the psychiatric meds that I'm on, obviously, to try and balance out my my brain chemistry, the extremes that my normal brain chemistry would, because I'm a loose cannon after all, the extremes that my brain chemistry, unmedicated, I was a different person. I mean, you know, I literally can look and see, when the drugs are, I guess, doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I look back and I'm like, well, yeah, okay. You know, I get it. I might not, because you try to explain it to me at the time, and I'm like, what are you talking about? No. Especially, you know, again, mania is like a horrible, horrible thing. You know, after the fact, you have a much better perception, you know, a much better idea of what the problem was. You know, I kind of miss it to a certain degree, because the mania is like mostly under control. It's just a depression that's kind of locked. But the mania, it peaks every now and then. It depends. If I get like terribly excited, it peaks. But for the most part, the mania is better. So yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just making the point that, yeah, I can definitely question as to whether someone who looks back at their high school self, I mean, sees the same person. I literally don't think it's possible. I mean, you know, there's bad launchings and guys who live in their mom's basement. I guess there's girls who live in their mom's basement too, but there's only so much. I mean, it's just, there's just a natural, growth project, you know, process. Life just does that to you. You know, you get your little rain, you get your little sunshine, and you change. Hopefully for the better. You know, and making mistakes is part of that process, and learning from said mistakes is good. You know, I look at myself and I'm like, I've tried not to make the same mistake twice, and I think that I've. I don't know if I've been successful in doing that, but I think I've at least tried to apply it. You know, just like the idea of being in a holding pattern, I've tried to just be ready to the best of the ability that I can if an opportunity presents itself to better myself or my situation, at least up until, you know, a certain time ago. Now I'm just like coasting. I'll be honest. I've been coasting for months. Months and months and months and months. I was this way at the dinner table tonight, and I was like, my aunt said, "Oh, are you doing your show tonight?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh, you're back doing your show?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I've been doing my show for like almost 2 months now." And she goes, "Oh, I thought you said you were coming back in October." And I went, "Oh, damn, I should have waited. I wouldn't even be back yet. I would have like another three weeks before I'd be sitting here yammering into the microphone again." But no, I had to mess around with Vaughn. I had to do this, and now I'm back, and now it's like, all right. So, all right. And it's really funny, you know, another thing that I was kind of batting around this week is, you know, the idea of going back on Vaughn for like just a music only show, you know, because I'm just fascinated. I'm enthralled and fascinated by what goes on over at Vaughn, you know, and I'm like, I think I could do that. And there's a combination of things that need to culminate, you know, to come into. And, why, I don't know, you know, I don't even know if I want to. I was thinking, that's one of the things I was thinking about literally in the shower. It just popped into my head. It's like, do I really want to do that? Do I really want to do that? Do I? It's like, I can't even get this show back to where it was. I feel I'm like inching, I'm slowly crawling and getting it back into some sort of, whipping it back into some sort of shape. Like I said, I'm only going to do an hour tonight. And there's like another 10 or 12 minute set in there somewhere. So yeah, I need focus. I guess I need to focus. I need to use my Jedi powers and focus and kind of get this tight. And then I think if I did that, I could start to think about something else, you know, because I enjoy this. I mean, I enjoy doing talk. I wouldn't want to do talk exclusively because I think there are times where I want to use the music to do what I do with the music. I mean, I think, again, anybody listening to this program at this point in time knows what I'm capable of. So stand back. Yes. Stand back. Definitely do not poke with sticks. Not a good idea, right? So, yeah. I think I'm just going to focus on getting this thing together. And I, you know what? I look back and it's like I really honestly, when I walk out of here, I really don't honestly even remember what I've done. So it's like, it's kind of cool to be able to go back like a day or a couple of days later and like watch it and be like, I guess. So that's why people ask me like when I get out of here, like, how was it? I'm like, eh. I don't go, but I go, eh. So it's true. It's 100% true. So yeah, I need to tighten things up. I need to get back into my social media, which I've also slowly begun to kind of move along and do. Particularly Twitter. Twitter and Gab are probably like of the two that are of the most use to me at this point in time. Facebook to a lesser degree. Facebook obviously winds up being more social than anything else. I'm gonna go up on Facebook and then like I get sidetracked into like other people's stuff, which is fine. I guess that's what it's for, you know. But I had a focus, you know, and this is even with the meds and everything. I had a focus that was doing a pretty good job of keeping me in the game, you know. And I feel I lost that, like I lost it like a while back, and now I'm I guess if I don't get that back, I'm just gonna drown. There's really no other way to put it. So I kind of need that. I literally need that to go forward because I can't be, I can't be yammering about how I need my focus every week. It would just be like, you know, it gets to the point where things are like, so, and I try not to get to that. But I guess, you know, it's like anything else. It just takes time. And I can hear my cat. He's 9 now, by the way. He turned 9, like, I think the 4th or something. So it was a couple of few days ago. And it took like a whole bunch of people to try and figure out how old my cat was in people years, or you know, how old he was in cat years, I should say. And apparently there's some sort of theorem. People are like, oh, it's 7 and then it's 8 years and then it's this, and then you got to divide that by 4, you know, because he's got 4 feet, you know. And I'm like, you know what, I don't know what you're talking about. So finally I found something, and it said the first year, they go from, like, 0 to, like, 15 or something. And then the second year is, like, 15 to 24 or something, or another 24 years. And then you got to add, like, X number 2 years for every year after that. So, it, you know, figures it's cats, right? It's figures it's complex, yeah. So, I think he's, like, he's older than I am. That's for sure. Let's just put it that. He's now officially older than I am, so, you know. He keeps it up, he's gonna weigh more than I do. So yeah, he's like, I don't know, he's in his like mid to early 60s, I guess. No, mid 50s to early 60s, I guess would be the best way to put it. So somewhere in that range. But we didn't have any birthday doings or nothing, but I guess I owe him something. I gotta go. See, I'm hesitant to get treats for him or nothing now because like real treats. Because real, I love that expression. Not real, but real. That's like that extra real. There has to be like that extra real in there. Otherwise, it just doesn't convey how real it is. He's fat. You know, and I'm worried about it. And people are like, oh, well, you know, maybe he's just big boned. And I'm like, You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, plenty of people have fat cats and they're all right. And I'm like, all right. So I'm just a little nervous because I love that little critter, honestly. So yeah, that was, that happened this week. And I went back to counseling, again, every 2 weeks. And, you know, it's really fun. I'm talking to my counselor about, like, things in general. And I gotta say, I'm always honest with my counselor. I'm, like, 100% honest. Because it just doesn't pay not to be, you know. And she's, like, the only person I can be. You know, she's got, like, no skin in the game whatsoever at all. So, she said, tell what's going on, da-da-da, da-da. You know, and she said, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing certain things. I'll just leave it at that. And then maybe you shouldn't be hanging out in certain places and talking to certain people. And I'm like, she's like, you seem to have a grasp on it, but it just doesn't, it seems irritating to you. It seems like it annoys you, and it seems like you have enough annoyance in your life. And I'm like, yeah, I do have enough annoyance in my life. I mean, I don't need other people's annoyances. I don't need them. I really don't. So, but yet, I'm strangely compelled at this point in time. It's like some sort of real life novella, I guess. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if I could just hit like a sub channel button and all of a sudden the whole thing would be in Spanish? Wouldn't that be wild? Like if you could do that in like real life, wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, you know, I figured something out. Not for nothing. For all those people who are upset that I don't back announce, the many, many, many people who are upset that I don't back announce songs, there's this, you can use the Google one, but I started using, my wrist is still killing me. I started using the Shazam app on my phone, and it can figure out what music it's hearing if you hit the button and it, you know, it's close enough to the speaker. It can 100% figure out what's going on. So that being the case, you know, now you don't have to email me and ask me, because I wouldn't even be able to tell. It's because there's just so much going on at one time. It's like I'm like, and I don't remember back, and like most of these emails are like in crayon, you know. So it's absolutely positively hard to tell. All right, you know what? I'm going to hit my set. I have one set, and then I'm going to come back, and thingamajiggles. It's not parting phrases. It could be a phrase if I waited long enough. Like, I don't have a catchphrase, like a so long catchphrase, you know, happy trails or something like that. I should see if I can come up with one of those. But anyway, let me see if this thing wants to get the button. See, it's almost about, you got to go over here, right, and do that, and then... Nope. Why is that not working? Is it? It's not. Why is it not working? We'll try it this way. There it is.
You're a winner with the Men Wolves Midnight.
LF Midwood. On RNI.
Prime. Good together. One. more time.
On the internet.
I know what I want, but I just don't know.
my fingers. Manic depression has captured my soul. Yeah. Woman so pretty, the sweet cause in pain. You make love, you break love, it's all the same. Music, sweet music, I wish I could caress, caress, caress. Manic depression is a frustrating mess. Wow!
This is 11LRNI, and you're listening to the LF Midwood Experience.
You're listening. That's I don't like that as a catchphrase. I gotta find something, some sort of like goodbye catchphrase. I don't know. I don't think about it. Anyway, it's been fun. I know it went real fast, right? Anyway. It's going to go faster and faster as I get more focused and focused, just so you know. Anyway, head over to lfmidwood.com. There's stuff there. Take my word for it. You'll find stuff. That's lfmidwood.com. You can email me at lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. I'm the guy with the bald spot. That's it, really, I guess. You know, that Hendrix stuff, I'm not listening to tracks until I'm actually playing them, because I got the studio monitors on here. And, you got a lot going on in there, right? There's a lot of stuff going on in those Hendrix tracks, you know? It took me a while to figure out what to play, and I was like, let me go for the Canard, you know what I mean? I was like, what's a lot, you know, because I was tracking through Hendrix for a better part of the afternoon, as a matter of fact. And I'm like, well, I just want one. So I figured, yeah, let me do that one. Thank you for imbibing, in whatever fashion you have imbibed. I'll catch you, you know what? Oh, and good night, lurkers. Yeah, maybe I'll use that one as my catchphrase. Anyway, one more track, and then we're gonna get out of here. So, night, y'all. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, back in the year one, when you belonged to no one, you didn't stand a chance, son. If your pants were undone, 'cause you were bred for humanity and sold to society. One day you'll wake up in the present day, a million generations removed from expectations of a being who you really want to be. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day. So as you push off from the shore, won't you turn your head once more and make your peace with everyone? But those who choose to stay will live just one more day to do the things they should have done. And as you cross the wilderness, suspending in your emptiness, you really have to pray. Looking for a sign that the universal mind has written you into the passion play. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day. And as you cross the circle line, well, the eyes will breach behind. You're a rabbit on the run. And the silver splendors fly in the corner of your eye, shining in the setting sun. Well, do you ever get the feeling that the story's too damn real and in the present tense? All and everybody's on the stage, and it seems like you're the only person sitting in the audience. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day.
Been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.